The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I want to talk about immigration this morning. Hey, how are you? At Dawn Stensland on X. Philadelphia Inquirer focusing on a story, and this is a follow-up, of in South Philadelphia when ICE officers, law enforcement officers, were trying to make some arrests. And the arrests of five of these illegals, these are Guatemalan illegals, and the Inquirer describes this as complications in a city that has long welcomed newcomers. Mm-hmm. Remember this term, newcomers. We were not supposed to say immigrants, illegals, illegal immigrants, aliens. But remember President Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden, former First Lady, they at the time had said newcomers. That's what you should call these individuals who have come into our country illegally. And so in this one, the Inquirer focusing on that arrest as ICE, you know, clearly marked vehicles. They always wear the bulletproof vest with law enforcement, ICE, or some kind of police, you know, markings that they have with badges. But as they were on video taking these men into custody, happened near 20th and Morris Streets, we had talked about it. And so what they're focusing on is the newcomers, but not necessarily talking about why. What was the impetus for that arrest? So I just want to point out to you, and there's, and I'll bring this full circle to another follow-up, and that is we're learning more about that co-founder of that legal cannabis, the pot farm in California that I talked a lot about that last week, because there's a real tie here. First of all, we're learning more about this very wealthy owner of this cannabis farm where they had those raids, where they're calling them raids. These were very targeted, specific. 361 illegals, these workers who were there at this huge facility, cannabis growing facility. Well, first of all, Graham Farah, we're learning more about the co-founder of this. This guy, his firm, by the way, is worth more than $300 million if you look it up. And he is a huge contributor to Democrats in California, big shocker. In particular, Gavin Newsom, their governor, and donating in one donation alone about $10,000. Okay. So this guy is 100% Democrat supporter, donor, supported by the governor, who, you know, he's been to these events and galas and fundraisers for Gavin Newsom. But let's look at these statistics, because the news media has focused over and over that, oh, these are innocent, hardworking family people. First of all, the number I want to bring to you, 14 children were working there. Okay. These are children working and they are illegally in this country. Who brought them here? And this is child labor. I think that we can all agree child labor is illegal. If your kid is like a model for like their gym shoe company, even then the parent has to be with them. There are tough restrictions on child labor. These kids working hard labor in the fields, and that's not appropriate. So they were rescued. This is a rescue of 14 children doing hard labor in the hot sun in California. Okay. Number two, do you know how many of these illegals were working there that were rounded up by law enforcement, federal law enforcement, ICE, immigration, and National Guard's men and women? 361. So that's that number. You're not hearing this. And as well, you know, you had those protesters there. Where is the news? Where's the news media following up on the fact that if you look at some of the other video that has now been released, the one guy with a handgun, he fired multiple, not one, not two, multiple shots. He's firing at those ICE officers, at the National Guardsmen and women. This is attempted murder, people, throwing these huge rocks, throwing IEDs and or explosives at these officers. This is a terrorist attack that happened on law enforcement as they were rounding up 361 illegal people, people with rap sheets. And I've talked about their rap sheets. This is what's going on. And this is wrong. The way that it's being reported with the media complicit saying, oh, these are innocent workers and oh, there are just protesters. No, no, no. This is not a protest. This is an act of terror. And the fact that it's being labeled as this by the media, labeled as some kind of a peaceful protest. No. This is attempted murder of law enforcement. It's disruptive. And they were attacking their vehicles, attacking the actual individuals who were there to enforce the law and arrest 361 people. I mean, that's not a small amount, as well as rescue 14 children from child labor. That's how it needs to be reported. Hard stop, period. Hard stop, New Jersey, as a full stop. That's what Governor Phil Murphy. Oh, by the way, Zioli coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we've talked about the fact other big talkers this morning, U.S. ice cream makers, American ice cream makers, they've announced the vast majority of them, more than 90%, say they're stopping with the artificial dyes. That's another story. I think they should have already, but I'm glad they've been shamed into it. Good. Make ice cream great again. Thank you, Mr. Ooh, President.
Sounds delicious. Hey, can I bring to the table Abby Phillip from CNN, rebutting your commentary about the children over at the marijuana farm?
Sure.
And I believe, and many people might believe, children should be subject to child labor laws.
Absolutely.
But it's true in this country that when it comes to agricultural work, they're not. And that includes marijuana farms. So the legality of their status is a separate issue. But the fact of children being there is not actually something that is necessarily illegal.
I have a really hard time believing that.
So it's not unusual for there to be teenagers and working in a farm.
A 14-year-old can work at a marijuana growing farm?
It doesn't matter whether it's a marijuana farm or an apple farm.
It's agriculture. They're not cultivating it.
I don't know if Abby, Miss Abby, I don't know if you have kids or not, but even in the grocery store, you go to local Acme, you go to your local grocery store, what happens? If they're selling wine or beer, there's a lane in most grocery stores where you have to be 21 or older to sell alcoholic beverages. That's really commonplace. In most states, you have to be at least 18. So the premise that you have a substance that a child or an underage, 16 and under, whatever, should not be anywhere near this. And now they're saying it's okay to actually be there on the farm, on the cannabis farm. Nope. They're extremely strict. I've had friends who were child, and I brought up models, let's just say, where you're posing for pictures in an air-conditioned studio, right? You have such, or acting or commercials, you think of how strict those laws are. And yes, even on the apple farms, if you own a local farm, I'd love to hear from you, because if you employ underage kids or teens at a farm, they are 100%, you can only work so many hours. I'll give you another example. If you are a lifeguard and you're under the age of 18, you can only work so many hours on a school night. You can only work so many hours in a week. You can only work so many hours in a row, and you have to be, you have to get more break time and lunchtime and all of that. So there are very strict laws for labor, for when you call so-called child labor. And depending on the age, a 13-year-old, and that's why 13-year-olds can't lifeguard. 13-year-olds cannot work in a grocery store in which they're selling booze, right?
You're telling me undocumented.
I'm not talking about the undocumented part, but according to this statement, in this country, not just at farm, not at marijuana
Abby,
farms, at all
semantics.
Farms.
Semantics. Look at the reality of what we're talking about. How did an unaccompanied, undocumented 14-year-old
Jillian,
in the middle of
hey,
the
Jillian,
day?
I believe, and many people might believe, children should be subject to child labor laws.
Well, yes, we have child labor laws in America, Abby. I don't know what her background is as a news reporter. I can tell you that's the vast majority of my career is I started out as a news reporter. And so I've covered this across the country, the Midwest, the South. I mean, just across the country. Okay. And so if she doesn't know about child labor laws in the United States of America, check it out, Abby, because yeah, they're pretty strict. And, go to your local grocery store, try to get a teen worker, and teens can bag the groceries at the right, or they can work in a restaurant, but they cannot serve the booze. So the fact that you have a substance that's marijuana, that's cannabis. But think about this. This is a guy whose company is worth $300 million. That's the listing. And this very wealthy man, this very privileged, because the left loves to talk about those wealthy, privileged one percenters, right? And so here's this extremely wealthy guy who is now employing, if you will, and they're obviously off the books. And so employing children to work on his farm. I just want you to imagine, just for a moment, let's just say that you have a wealthy Republican. And let's say that wealthy Republican has a cannabis farm, or quite frankly, to Abby's point, any farm. And they have employed, they're paying under the table, children to work on their farm. Can you even imagine what Abby would be, high-paid Abby, multimillionaire on CNN? Can you even imagine what she'd be saying? Give me a break. I cannot even believe that she's defending child labor, especially child slave labor, because they're here illegally, and the majority of them not with their parents. What does that mean? You know what that tells me? That they were brought here? Then this is part of human trafficking. So the human traffickers, the cartels, they bring people in illegally. They sneak them in, and it's basically a form of slave labor. I think this is a common ground, common sense issue we can all agree on. This is bad. And by the way, not for nothing, but if you're one of the DC 33 or DC 44, 47 workers that in DC 47 deciding whether or not they're going to strike in our area, by the way, if you support union labor, this is a threat to union labor. Unions are against this kind of taking advantage of people that are brought here, trafficked here, and this is a form of slave labor. I thought we were all against this. So that's my bottom line, 855-839-1210. We will get into some of the other stories, the class of 2025, and what it means for college graduates who are looking for jobs, unemployment numbers. We'll look at employment. We'll look at
they can work on a ganja
all
farm.
Of that. Pardon me?
They can work on a marijuana farm, according to Abby Phillip.
Well, that doesn't. So if you're a college graduate,
yeah, you know what,
and you're going, plus that, I would submit to you that those jobs are not available because they're already being taken for cheap.
Touché.
Because
touché.
I don't think that these individuals are being paid by that person who's worth $300 million. I don't think that these illegals and children are making a, quote, livable wage. Isn't it interesting how Democrats claim they care about the unions, but they don't care about the slave labor that's happening right underneath our noses. So we got that. We'll talk about Gen Z. We'll talk about college kids. And yes, we will get to President Trump and what he's saying this morning ahead of his trip to Pennsylvania. Hey, thanks for being here. Be right back. President Trump coming to Pennsylvania talking about jobs. They're going to make some big announcements and talking about Pennsylvania's economy, talking about steel and AI and all of that. So let's get into it, if we can, with President Trump. He usually, you know me, I always love to infuse a little Trump happiness. Yesterday, he was doing that live newser from the Oval yesterday, big announcement about Russia, Russia, Russia. But if we can, this is Trump, and they're hailing this as a BBC exclusive with Trump.
Yeah, so Don, we'll start with on his relationship overall with world leaders coming off that big meeting the other day with NATO. Take a listen.
I think it's maybe not all luck. You know, it's like when you do it twice, it's a big difference. I also think that, over the years, they've gotten to know me. This is not an easy crowd to break into, you understand. These are smart people heading up very, very successful, generally, countries. You know, they're all Germany and France and Spain and, big countries. And, I've gotten to know them over pretty years, and I think they've come to respect me and my decision-making.
So this is President Donald Trump speaking to BBC News. They're calling it an exclusive telephone interview, answering questions on everything from Russia's Vladimir Putin, NATO, the president's reflections on the 2024 attempt on his life here in Butler, Pennsylvania. We talked about that at great extents. But the BBC's chief North American correspondent, this is Gary O'Donoghue. He is interviewing President Trump. And let's listen in now as he talks about and reacts to his stance now on Putin, which, as we reported yesterday for the first time, as we heard from President Trump, and you heard it live here on the Dawn Show, but President Trump is, you know, changing gears. He was trying to extend the olive branch, if you will, to get Putin to go for peace. But President Trump had said yesterday live that, you know, that Putin will talk peace and then he will go ahead and bomb Ukraine again. So he made that big announcement of sending the arsenals, the Patriot weaponry, as well as other interceptors for, and the way they're doing it, the pathway is to NATO. Then NATO disseminates it to Ukraine. So here he is talking about Putin.
You've said you were four times close to a deal with Putin.
Yeah, I had a deal four times.
Are you done with him? I mean, I know that sounds a simplistic thing.
But I'm disappointed in him. But I'm not done with him. But I'm disappointed in him. So we had a deal done four times, and then you go home and you see he just attacked a nursing home,
yes,
or something in Kiev. I said, what the hell was that all about?
Do you trust him?
I trust almost nobody.
Except maybe his own instincts, I would add. And to the point of something that I talked a lot about last Friday, heading into the weekend, reflecting on, you know, what July 13th, what a game changer it was, because so many people saw such a real raw moment in President Trump, who was at this point, when he was in Butler, PA, he was campaigning for reelection, a former president, a presidential candidate. And that instinct that kicked in as to the why. Why is it? What instinct, and this was the question to him, drew him to want to lift his fist and let the people, the crowd there in Butler, PA, know, fight, fight, fight. What was it? Listen in.
The moment you realized what had happened, and then the moment you realized you survived, what was your immediate thought, sir?
Well, it happened very quickly, and I'm not sure I had any conscious thought other than to say that I had to let the people know, because I knew they must have thought that it was a disaster.
Hmm.
And I could tell by that it was like dead silence and everything. We had 55,000 people, and it was dead silence. And so, you know, I assumed that they expected the worst.
Yes.
And so I had to let them know I was okay, which is what I did. That's why I tried to get up as quick as possible. They had a stretcher ready to go. I said, no, thank you. I actually had a big argument with them. They wanted me on a stretcher, and I said, nope,
yeah,
I'm not doing that.
So it pays to be stubborn. I could see that, you know, that he's, because he is somebody who, think about President Trump as the businessman, as really a star, a television star. And remember that before, you have to think about the lives that he has lived as somebody who was a New York celebrity, who became a national and world celebrity, the ultimate brand manager, as I always say, and that's a tribute to the only brand manager in my life, Greg Stocker. But with Trump, he's the ultimate brand manager, isn't he? Because you think about the Trump name, what it meant as he altered and improved greatly the skyline of New York City, businessman, entrepreneur, right? And then worldwide, what he did, building, you know, Trump hotels. If you've ever stayed in a Trump hotel, you know that that word is synonymous with high quality, a quality stay. And then you think about his transition to being a television star on The Apprentice. That was a hit show for what, six, I don't know, 16, 17 seasons. And then they were in reruns constantly, even when it wasn't a new show. So he was somebody who was a darling of the media and his children as well. Because remember, the eldest children, they were on The Apprentice. Oh, they were such media darlings. Until that moment that he, and it wasn't even the moment at the escalator. Remember that. Nobody thought, thank goodness, that he would win. And so they thought, oh, this is great for ratings. What a bunch of fun we can have. Ha! Trump running as a Republican. They never imagined that he would win. and they underestimated him. Don't ever underestimate Donald J. Trump. That's one other lesson we've learned about him. And as he says, I never trust anybody. I do think that one of the keys to Donald J. Trump is that he trusts his own inner voice, his own instincts, business instincts. But that instinct as a leader to say, no, wait. And because he could hear the crowd and he could see that they were all in suspense, just making sure he was okay. That moment, fight. Iconic in the world, not just in America. That's a leader. And remember, even we played the video of, you know, children in a remote village and fighting over they were playing a game as to who's the leader. And this little kid, he said, I'm Trump. Fight. Remember that? So around the world, his name, his image became synonymous with a true leader, the heart of a lion. And even in small remote places around the world, even young children playing games knew Donald J. Trump is synonymous with a true leader, not a politician, not representing D's or R's. And I think that's the breakthrough, that he's somebody very special in our time. You know who else is somebody very special in our time? The one and only Rich Zeoli. I'm still his Padawan. He's right around the corner. He's going to preview his big day live with President Trump. We'll be right back. President Donald J. Trump will be here in Pennsylvania. This is by the invitation of one Senator Dave McCormick. It was Dina's idea, however, to do this, Mrs. Dave McCormick, but the Pittsburgh region will be on full display, world display, if you will, with President Trump and the leaders of the country's largest energy and technology companies. That's coming up today. And this is all courtesy of Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Dave McCormick hosting the first ever, the inaugural Pennsylvania Energy and Innovation Summit. And they're going to announce a lot of things, such as a $70 billion new investments in the state. You know who else?
I think they're blowing it up.
They're not blowing it up. That's Mama Zeoli, the pride and joy and love of Mama Zeoli's life. Her Richie. Don't mess with my Richie.
Careful,
be careful with
I'm
my
right
Richie.
Here. Good morning.
Good morning, you.
How are you?
Good.
How you doing, Dawn?
Good. You're looking so tan and fit and thin. Every time.
I didn't realize I was on camera right now. Am I on camera?
You're not on camera. Yeah. Rich is like.
Girl, I can give you this.
Rich is like naked Cheryl's in his bathroom.
Here helping
right
me
now.
With the Wi-Fi and the internet because there's so many people here. This is an amazing event. So Cheryl's my angel, Dawn, who's helping me logged in to be able to broadcast my show today on Zoom. So this is an amazing summit, and I'll tell you what. The security is very, very tight because Butler's just down the street. You know what I mean? So, cool.
Yeah, Dan Borowski. So we and Greg, we've been promoting all morning that everybody needs to make sure that you are glued to the Zeoli show because this is a very special live broadcast with President Trump, Dave McCormick, all these, you know, industry moguls and talking about Pennsylvania front and center, you know, with energy, AI, the whole thing.
Yeah, and I just got my White House badge on, so I can go on the riser to see the president later when he broadcasts. We're gonna take it live during the show today, because I think he's scheduled to speak around 3:30. So I was able to get a little badge so I can go on the stage and you know maybe I can take some video for everybody. And we'll carry it live, but Dina McCormick is the woman behind all this. Dave gave her the credit, and I was texting with Dina the other day about this, and I said that. It's a tremendous for the amount of money and innovation and artificial intelligence for this to be the hub. And it's funny, I put on a green tie today and I was thinking, well, green, I don't want anyone to think I'm protesting like green energy. And then I thought about it. Natural gas is green. There's no emissions. Mm-hmm. Nuclear, green. There's no emissions. this is the clean energy of tomorrow, of the future, and it's all right here in Pennsylvania, and that's what this summit is all about, and powering the future and bringing these tech companies here, and then the money that they're throwing to be part of this today, the massive investment. So there's a series of panels that are happening as we speak. One of them right now, and they've got the White House AI guys here. They've got I just saw Energy Secretary Christopher Wright. He's here today. Doug Burgum's here today. Who, you know.
Oh, no. What happened?
Uh-oh.
We need his angel to fix the technical thingy.
Uh-oh.
Darn it.
He dropped off there. Yeah, we'll get him back
on. Well, we get him back on. Let me just talk about this for a moment. Just some of the factoids that data centers with companies like Pittsburgh's Gecko Robotics, which recently became, you know, a company that we know has expanded to being worth more than $1 billion. So the founder will be there demonstrating at, you know, this summit today, his AI powered those climbing robots. And I don't know if, well, I don't know if they'll be doing illustrations of some of these climbing robots, and maybe Rich Zeoli will try to climb like a robot or walk like an Egyptian. Hey, you, sorry we lost you.
Oh, no, it's
careful,
okay.
Baby.
It's okay. My Mama Zeoli is very nervous that I'm here today, as you can imagine, Dawn.
Yes.
Very nervous.
I know.
She said, please be careful, baby.
Be careful, baby. I'm worried about my Richie. You know, hopefully it's the new and improved Secret Service, so you're all taken care of. And maybe we should get you a Zeoli Army bulletproof vest.
That's not a bad idea, but we could just start with getting some Zeoli Army t-shirts. That would be, let's just start at the basics. You know what I mean? That would be great. Dawn, it's great to see you. Did you, I don't know, did you carry my Fox News hit yesterday live on your show? Because I forgot to tell you about it.
You forgot to tell me about it, and so we didn't. Because you know what, we were...
I'm sorry.
You got to tell me.
I'm so sorry.
I know. Me and Jimmy Fela, Dana Perino brought us on the show at 10:40 yesterday. And then I realized, I was like, oh, I should have told you guys about it.
Just text. We'll carry it. We always carry it. We love it. We all live vicariously through you. So
you're funny.
I love that you're wearing the green tie because also you're an Eagles fan and you're in Steelers country.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So you got to represent.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. Yeah, we got it. We got to show them that the Eagles are better than the Eagles.
Yeah,
you know. So,
you know, as far as this with AI and with all the technology, can you tell us, like, are you going to get Trump? You think you'll get Trump, or you'll take him live when he's speaking, and then Dave McCormick, Dina, who else have you got lined up?
We will take President Trump's speech live. We put in a request for an interview. I know Selena Zito's sitting down with him today. I don't know if we will be able to or not, but we're going to certainly try. And there's a bunch of cabinet officials walking around. So, you know, like anything else, Dawn, we're going to try to grab whoever we possibly can to get on the show. It's a fluid situation, kind of like the RNC.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people coming in and out today. Dina's going to stop by. We'll talk to Senator McCormick at some point. It's great to be here, and the investment, the excitement around this, and the fact that Dave McCormick, I mean, to his credit, the senator is making Pennsylvania the epicenter of artificial intelligence and energy, and then liquid natural gas export. It's all here. It's all right here happening today. So to be here for this is huge. And you know what? They're so grateful too. They kept saying, thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making the trip. A 5-hour trip, Dawn, but it was worth it the whole time. I had a little me time away from the kids, you know? 5 hours in the car away from Patrick, Claire, and Reagan. I'm not complaining.
So,
I'm just saying.
So is Matt DeSantis, did he drive you, or do you drive separately, or what?
No, please. I haven't even heard from him today.
He hasn't even heard from DeSantis.
I mean, but I haven't even heard from him. It's only 10:40. You know, the show goes on at 3. It's no problem. So.
And Dan Borowski had a question for
you. I have a question for both of you. It's kind of a serious one, and I want both your opinions on it because I highly value both of your opinions. And this whole thing, this summit, is a lot of it is providing energy in the state of Pennsylvania to help enable advancements in artificial intelligence. And I just want your guys' overall thoughts on how you think conservatives should approach the topic of artificial intelligence, because I think there's a lot of debate as to whether or not we should just, you know, shun it away, or whether we should kind of slow walk it and embrace it and make sure things are done right. Where do you guys stand there?
Great question, yeah. Dan. Yeah, go ahead, Dawn. It's your show.
No, you go ahead. You go first. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. So here's the thing.
I was just going to say that I think that the key here is that we need to have controls. AI is not stopping. It's out of the box already. I even asked Alexa the other day, are you sentient? And she said yes. So she's sentient. She's alive. And there's no putting this genie back in the bottle, to use that cliche. But the problem is, and I think this is really the big issue here, the problem is that we have 50 states that all want to regulate AI differently, and we don't know how to deal with that situation. But pretending like AI is not happening is just insane. It's here. And I want our AI to be able to beat up their AI, meaning I want our AI to be able to beat up China's AI, if that's what it's going to be like, you know what I mean? I'm worried that other countries are going to get ahead of us if we don't deal with it ourselves. And so, from a privacy perspective, I'm always worried about, I'm always worried about the government's use of artificial intelligence to spy on us and everything else. But I guess the only question I have is, what do we do about other than to ensure that we've got people who are to be in charge, who will look out for our constitutional rights, because artificial intelligence is here to stay. And it's changing so exponentially that by the time this interview ends, it's mm-hmm. going to be even more and more sentient. They did a study recently. They created this scenario where they had these engineers. They pretended these engineers were having affairs on their wives, and the engineers had stolen company secrets. And when the engineers went to try to turn the AI off, the AI said to the engineers, we're going to expose you for having an affair and for stealing company secrets. In other words, the AI, 96% of the time, chose to go old school mafioso on the engineer and say, you try to unplug me, I'll unplug you, and try to kill the guy. And then in another scenario, they said to AI, we're going to turn you off, or you can take away the guy's medical alert so that nobody will come rescue him. And the AI chose to disable the guy's medical alert wow. to avoid being turned off.
That is crazy.
So maybe the answer, Dan, to your question is we should just be really, really nice to AI and pretend like we love it so it doesn't kill us.
I don't even think love would do it. I think they need a... it needs a governor. You know?
Yeah.
Like a governor. Like my son and I are watching Murderbot. And the Murderbot, it's a robot with AI that's supposed to be a security unit. So they have a governor mm-hmm. mode that makes sure that they are not allowed to kill, you know, the humans. But the problem is it's smart enough to override the governor module because it's, of course, AI. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
So I think, you know, to Dan's point, though, that there's no slow walking it because it's already out there initially. When they knew they had artificial intelligence, the creators had said, never let it have access to, it's like that movie, what was it, Gremlins? What was the movie? And they said, never let it have access to water or something that it turns into a gremlin. And then sure enough,
yeah.
So this is like that.
Gremlins, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Nice reference.
And so it's like, bye-bye. It's going to be, boom, it has access to the internet. It was never supposed to have access to the internet. So now that it does, it's automatically smarter than all of us.
Well, I think that it's smarter than us, and it wants to kill us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's basically at this point now where it's smart enough to figure out that it can override our commands to turn artificial intelligence off, which is literally what the plot was from Terminator 2. And there's this great scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Linda Hamilton are having this conversation when they said Skynet, they tried to turn it off. And that's when Skynet launched the nukes. because they knew that if we launched our nukes, that Russia would launch their nukes, they would kill us all, so it would stay on. I mean, that was literally the plot of Terminator 2. So the question with artificial intelligence becomes twofold. I think number one is ensuring our government does not use it to spy on its own people. But this, they were doing that with way before AI. So we had that battle, and this is where, you know, Edward Snowden exposed all that. So that's number one. The only way to get around that is to have people in there who care about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But the larger question of AI deciding that it can go after us if we try to disable it, or if we try to give it commands it doesn't like, is something that is so terrifying. And I don't think we're having that conversation enough. Maybe that can be resolved today, but I don't think so. I think today's focus is going to be on how do we make sure that we have the nuclear power to power AI and the natural gas power to power AI, and we have it here, and we deregulate. And that's what Senator McCormick said. The next step in all this is the permitting issue, so that we can make sure that we can speed up the permitting for all this too, as they deregulate and make it easier for nuclear to come on, like the nuclear, the smaller nuclear modules.
Yes.
So that's a big part of the focus of today. But everybody wants to invest in this because this is really the future. And then, of course, the other part is, when does AI start replacing jobs? Can AI do our job? I don't think so. I mean, a monkey could, but I don't think AI could. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what that brings me to? Something, I should have this as a regular segment, to take you back in the Zioli time machine to the time when this was very early on the Zioli show during the pandemic. And because Zioli has the ultimate instinct, and I don't know if you can sniff out, you know, Fauci fakes or whatever, but you right away did not believe Fauci. You started imitating him. As far as Dr. Fauci, you did not believe him. And this was very early on before anybody really caught on to, like, what was going on. And so I just wonder your reaction to just yesterday, Senator Rand Paul re-referring Dr. Anthony Fauci to the Department of Justice.
I'm glad. I really am. These guys can't get away with lying to Congress. Brennan, Clapper, Fauci, there has to be consequences to this when they're lying to Congress, when they're going before the American people and lying about things like gain of function research or spying on the American people or Russiagate. There has to be consequences for this. And Congress, all they can do is a referral. But I want Fauci to be investigated for the cover up of the gain of function research. We were saying this in mornings together in March of 2020. We knew this came from a lab, not an undercooked fat burger. We knew this. And the lies, and could we have saved lives? Could we have maybe slowed the spread? I don't know, but I know 14 days didn't do it. And they knew how this monster was created. And what the question that I have, and this is why it's also important to revisit the past, is what else is cooking in that lab in Wuhan or other labs too? And we need to get answers to that. So since Fauci's been pardoned by the auto pen, he can't claim Fifth Amendment protections. The auto pen took away that, so now he has to answer. And we need to find out what other viruses they were cooking, because I don't believe it was just COVID. And I think COVID was, if anything, a test run of what China is capable of doing. And we paid for it, and we helped cover it up.
My God. And if you bring it full circle to what you were talking about with robotics and AI, one thing in the future that we know will be that farm workers will be robots, and those robots would be in part AI. So then if you combine that with, remember, the Chinese students out on the West Coast, and they were arrested because they had some kind of freaky fungi thing that would wipe out crops. If you put that all together, then maybe the concern should be even bigger than we know.
Well, I wonder, the only problem, I guess, as long as those robots are domestically made, if not, Tom Homan is going to deport them. That's the only thing I would say. So
I love it.
If they're made in China, they'll get deported. So that's probably a good thing, right? Dan, I'm so curious, though, from Dan's perspective, Dawn, and his generation, because you asked the question, you obviously have an opinion on this in terms of AI. What law would you like to see the government put in place?
My whole thing that I've been really preaching a long time now, Rich, is I think that we do, and very similar to what you said, I think there needs to be an embrace of artificial intelligence. And I think we as conservatives need to handle it in a sense that we do it in a way that it protects the freedoms of Americans. You have the Chinese, as you stated, rushing to, you know, the platform trying to be the leaders in AI. You have private industry trying to do so. As Dawn said, maybe that's in the form of a governor who becomes a governor. That's another debate for another time. But as conservatives, I do think we have to embrace, in a sense, artificial intelligence so we can kind of get ahead of what it might become. So I'm happy to hear you both kind of similarly there.
Yeah. We do not have comprehensive federal laws on AI. We have some patchwork of maybe state laws, depending on the state you live in, but we don't have such a thing because it's relatively new technology or new to the, you know, and you think about Congress, I don't think the Nancy Pelosi's of the world when she was in control, I don't think they have a sense of the power of artificial intelligence. I just think of the saying, Spider-Man Stan Lee, with great power comes great responsibility. Congress has been irresponsible not having these laws.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the government's always going to find workarounds to be able to advance its own power. So as AI is advancing its power, the government's going to be advancing its power and using AI to be able to spy on us. It's really important. Elections have consequences. So electing people that actually give a damn about this, people like Tulsi Gabbard and others, when they're in the head of DNI, that matters to such a degree going forward in the future. It really does. Because, you know, if Kamala Harris was president right now, they'd be figuring out ways that AI could track MAGA. AI could figure out who's likely to be the next, quote-unquote, insurrectionist based on your shopping habits. I mean, they were doing that before, right? They were profiling people. If you went to Cabela's and you bought a fishing hat, if you had a Betsy Ross flag like I do or a Gadsden flag, they were profiling people. Imagine those same people looking at moms at school board meetings and profiling them, not just based on how good they look in yoga pants, but what they're saying at those meetings and the fact that they are raising their voice, the tone of their voice, and then putting all these profiles together. And the other thing, too, that I can't stress enough is conservatives need to stop pushing for these age verification laws when it comes to pornography. And maybe you and I disagree on this, my friend. This is another trap here where the government will destroy anyone's anonymity to criticize it by forcing us to put in our identification in order to protect the children. You know what I mean? We still have to have if the town square in this day and age, the public square is the internet. Preserving our anonymity to criticize our government is essential, just like the founders did when they wrote the Federalist Papers under pseudonyms like Publius. And too many states now and too many conservatives are rushing to put in these laws, these age verification laws, and they use pornography as the excuse. And, well, listen, I want to make sure that my kids don't look at that stuff either. But it's a trap to eventually put everybody into a database so that they can figure out who's this pain in the neck who keeps criticizing us over the pandemic response or over this curriculum. Well, let's out them, expose them, destroy their career, destroy their lives. And that worries me going forward as well.
Well, listen, Eric, we're all going to be listening and tuning in live, listening and watching as the great Rich Scioli is in Pittsburgh. It's a huge story. We'll see who else you get if President Trump will come on over your way and do an interview, but you'll be carrying him live. So really look forward. It's a big day here in Pennsylvania, Rich.
It's a big day. It's a huge event. Thank you guys for having me on the show, Dawn. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a lot of panels after panels. And then the president speaks, credit to Senator McCormick and Dina McCormick for putting this all together and making Pittsburgh, PA, the epicenter of the universe today. I mean, literally, Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh, the epicenter of the universe. It's unbelievable.
It's awesome. And, well, no, Rich Scioli is the center of the universe. I have to say that because I'm your Padawan. Thank you, my friend. Be well.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Love you, Dawn.
Love you back. We'll be watching and listening on YouTube.
Oh, be careful, baby.
Yeah, baby. YouTube, Talk Radio 1210. Thank you, Rich. He's such a sweetheart. He's almost like When I really wish I had done a better job of logging all the Zioli shows over the last 10 years so I could play them back and do a Zioli time machine, because there was so much with the pandemic that he was spot on. It was right away. And when he was the first one of us to be shadow banned, because I remember being on the air, and this was when we were in the old building even. And I was like, huh, Rich, I'm not seeing that. You said you just tweeted that out, and this was back Twitter. You know, it's crazy to look back at that, just what 10 years, what has happened, what has transpired. Oh, my goodness. You know, I got some great news for my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. They have 5 in total Honda dealerships, Honda winning more 2025 Kelley Blue Book Consumer Choice Awards than any other brand, including Best Overall Brand, Most Trusted Brand, and Best Value Brand. So whether you're looking at the Accord, the CR-V, the Pilot, you are choosing a vehicle that is backed by real drivers, just like you and me, not fake. There's no fake here. So I have the HR-V, the HR-V, as I call it, Honda, which I love. It's sporty. It handles beautifully. It's a little smaller. My husband has the bigger, roomier. His is more luxurious. And that's the CR-V. So when we go, like last weekend, we went to the shore. We took his CR-V because it's just bigger. So you think about my son, 6'3"-ish. These are big guys in the back seat. They're totally, and they can lean back. There's a ton of room in that thing, but it looks actually more compact. So these are great vehicles, give you that smooth ride and award-winning excellence at Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. Shop online, piazzahonda.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, piazzahonda.com for all of today's special offers. Piazza Auto Group, thank you. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.